Greetings, fellow classic TV fans. Lee Purcell is a powerhouse of wit, talent, and charm. This iconic actress has many prestigious film credits and has worked alongside some of the biggest names in show business. Not only that, as you will hear, she is very much involved with the Screen Actors Guild and is often on the front lines pounding the pavement as an advocate for the fair deal that these hardworking people deserve. Lee's most recent project, The Hollywood Radio Players, is an innovative way to bring us free entertainment derived from the golden age of radio while helping the community that brings us movie and television entertainment. I'm speaking specifically of the Motion Picture Television Fund. This prestigious organization has assisted these valuable people in the industry during their times of need for well over a century. Out of respect for the cause, we needed to restrict our conversation to her current project, but you will still find it all very fascinating and educational. Ironically, you may find out a bit more about yours truly, as Lee is a natural-born conversationalist and interviewer herself. What a pleasant surprise for me, although I was caught a bit off guard. Enjoy! Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast the incredibly talented Lee Purcell. Hi, Lee!
Hi, Pat. It's so great to be here with you.
Well, you too. And I just, we've chatted it up already so much.
We have a bit, yeah, but there's more.
As we chat, we try to figure out exactly what we can't say.
Yeah, what we can say and what we can't say. And of course, the reason we're talking about that is because my union, SAG-AFTRA, is on strike. And members are not allowed to promote projects, past, present, or future, if they had a connection to the AMPTP, and that's the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, because that is who we are striking against for a fair deal, because we do not have a fair deal. And I can talk about a project of mine because it doesn't have a particular one, Hollywood Radio Players, that we'll talk about whenever you want to, because it doesn't have that connection to the AMPTP, because my partner and I produce it. We are the producers. So there's no other producers. So I can talk about that all day long, but you don't want me to, trust me.
Well, we will. We'll hit on all the right things, hopefully. I want to first commend you, and of course, every single other person that's gone out on those picket lines.
Yeah, it's interesting doing it.
Have you done it? Have you actually gone out there?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. I'll be doing it again, too. Yeah, I don't go out every day because I'm actually working on the show I just mentioned and a few other things. But yeah, I go out, I carry the sign, I march around, I make noise, and I am fortunate because my nephew is also in the industry. He's a writer, and so we have been out together, and, you know, that's, we always say the family strikes together, stays together. So that's been a whole lot of fun, actually, that part of it. And it's for, you know, it's for a very good cause, because we need a fair contract, and we don't have one.
Yes.
But I think we will. I'm cautiously optimistic, seeing as what just happened with the WGA, the Writers Guild of America, that they got a good deal, and they got what they wanted. Not everything, you never get everything, but they got a lot of what they wanted, and so they haven't signed it yet, but it will be going out, and I have no doubt that it's going to be signed by the majority, but they are still marching the streets with us, which
right.
is great, because we marched the streets with them before we went on strike.
Oh.
So it's kind of quid pro quo. And besides, you know, writers and actors, you know, we really work hand in hand. And, you know, we don't have anything to say if they don't write the words, and they don't have anybody to say the words if we don't say the words. So, you know, it's a bit of a marriage.
Exactly.
So, So we can't, I can't mention names of projects, past, present, or future, but you can. And then I can talk about them kind of around about, you know, a way, but we can't. I just have to be really careful because I don't want to break those rules, because those rules are really important.
Well, and that's the beauty of pre-recording interviews, folks.
That's right.
Yes. If something slips out, you know, there's always that.
I know. I've done interviews where things did slip out, and you know, it's like, no, I'm sorry, I can't talk about that.
If it doesn't happen, it'll be a miracle. But the beauty of it is, you can say, nope. And that way, we can do a little pause, and then I'll know that's where I said it, and then I can just take it out. Simple as that.
Good. Oh, that's wonderful.
I say it now, but
yeah. But I think we're good. I think we're good.
Well, and the good news is, it sounds like to me your nephew has blazed the trail, so it's time to set up the ant. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And he's an extremely talented person. And I just adore him. And so I'm very fortunate.
Well, yeah, obviously it courses through the veins of the family.
Yes. Yeah. He's yeah. I guess. Yeah. We have an awful lot in common. Really. I mean, it's kind of funny. And we talk about it. And it's like, oh, yeah, that. And it's just kind of funny, you know, that obviously he's a lot younger than I am. And that we have a very similar kind of history, in that we had a dream and gave up everything and pursued it. And that's kind of interesting to have a family member. He's the only one.
Well, I understand that. I've done that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All of us who are artists and either in the entertainment industry or a related industry, that's what we did. Well, some people didn't, because they were born into it, and lucky them. I'm not, what can I say about that?
Careful.
Nothing. I can say nothing. So we'll just keep moving along.
No edits there. Good. All right.
No. Oh, you can edit it. Please. Yeah, please do. No.
We're cleanly.
Yeah, I almost slipped. But yes, there are those of us who had to sacrifice everything in order to pursue our dreams. And then there are those of us who were simply born into it.
Yeah.
And more power to them.
Well, and you have a tremendous body of work. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you. That's very nice.
I had to get that in there.
Well, thank you.
You were so sweet when we were talking before I pushed record to ask, what the heck am I all about?
Well, I wanted to know.
Yeah. What's your story, bub?
Yeah, come on, give it up.
And so I did.
Tell me everything. Tell me everything. Yeah, you did. And it was pretty fascinating. And I am going to go to your YouTube channel, Golden Rage of TV, right? Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
And I'm going to look at that. And you, of course, can go to one of my YouTube channels. I have more, but I don't do anything with them. But I have one that's very active, which is Hollywood Radio Players. That's my really active YouTube channel.
I've been there.
And you can go there. Oh, you've been there.
Oh, heck yes, I have. Matter of fact, I watched a few episodes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you so much. What did you watch?
The Hitchhiker.
Oh, I love The Hitchhiker.
War of the Worlds.
I think The Hitchhiker is so scary. Yeah, War of the Worlds is, of course, probably my favorite, because I directed it. It was my idea, and I worked... Oh, can I talk about that? Let me think. Hold on. Yes, I can. Because, again, like I mentioned earlier, our company is not affiliated with AMPTP. So War of the Worlds, and this is radio that you can see, so that people understand who are listening.
Yes.
You watch it. You actually watch it. Watch it and listen to it.
I definitely want to talk about that. I'm kind of saving it for a little bit further down the road here, because
I know, I'm sorry.
No, that's not a problem at all, because it's such a great subject, though, and I want to just shout it out to everybody.
Thank you very much.
But it was the thing you've got me intrigued with, Lee, is because you were like, you know, I just heard what you do, Pat, and you're going to want to push record, because I got to tell you something.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, I forgot. Okay, so I'm going to be kind of cagey about the words I use, because of the strike. So you were talking about what you have done, which is to take themes of television shows, because there used to be amazing themes. I mean, amazing.
Yes.
And that's not done anymore.
No.
And I think that's really a shame. And I can't name the shows. You can. I can't. Because even though I wasn't in some of those shows, I still can't name them. It's a rule we're following for the moment. So I happen to be, and I have met this gentleman at least three times. Once, my husband and I were seated with him and his wife at the Hollywood Bowl, and I actually forgot what we were seeing, but we were seated with him in a box. And the Beach Boys were there. And I've toured with the Beach Boys, and I can say that because I'm...
Because you're a surfer girl. Yes, we know.
It wasn't because of that. It was a completely different... you would think that it would have been, but no, it was something else. And I also can't say. But it was a project I had done, and it's hard to talk about this. A particular company, an extremely large, successful conglomerate, had the idea that Tim Matheson and I'm sure you're familiar with Tim Matheson.
Oh, of course.
So they had the, because we were in this project, and they had the idea that we should tour with the Beach Boys to promote this project that I can't say the name of, and that we would be the opening act. So we did, and we were kind of the comic relief. And we went to, I think, 21 cities, and these were stadiums, huge stadiums. So we would go out first before the Beach Boys, and there would be an audience of, say, 25,000 people or so. And when an audience is that large, it just becomes one person. It's kind of interesting how that happens.
Right.
You don't think, oh my God, there's 25,000 people, even though you can see that there are, but it's just kind of this phenomenon that happens that your mind just goes, oh, there's only two people. And you talk to those two people, And so we would tell a few jokes. We would do the standard, like if we were in, say, Dallas, we would find out the football team or whatever team was playing in that season. And we would say, how about those Cowboys? And people would scream and yell. And then we would talk about a few other local things, and then we would introduce the Beach Boys. And we did that for 21 cities over a period, I think, 22 days. And why did I tell you all this? Because I mentioned the Beach Boys. Oh, yes, I'm coming back. So we were at the Hollywood Bowl with this gentleman whose name is Charles Fox, who is a very, very successful, long-time composer. And he composed some of the most... I mean, he doesn't just compose themes for TV shows. Like, I happened to see him a couple of nights ago at an event, and he said, oh, I'm going to San Francisco. I'm going to play, because he's also an unbelievably gifted pianist. And he said, I'm going to play on stage for the ballet that I wrote that the San Francisco Ballet is performing. So he's very versatile. But he did very, very, very famous themes to very, very, that people hum today, that to very famous TV shows, which I can't say the names of, but you would know every single one of them. And you can look him up, Charles Fox, and see what he composed. So that's what I was going to tell you. When you mentioned that you had taken these themes and you had...
I'd rearranged them to...
Yeah, rearranged them for guitar.
Yes.
And I thought it was just utterly fascinating. And I immediately thought about Charles Fox because of the shows that he's done, which you would know every single one of them, and so would anybody listening. So I had seen him, the Hollywood Bowl, that time. Then I ran into him at an event maybe 2 weeks ago at the Hollywood Museum here in L.A. in Hollywood, that I go to a lot. I'm very fond of it, kind of member of the family there.
Love it.
And, have you been there?
Yes, I have.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you must have come down from Central California.
Yes. We came down for the TCM Film Festival, actually.
Oh, that's a wonderful film festival.
It really was. And, of course, it's all right there. And
it's all, that museum is amazing. 5 floors of Hollywood memorabilia, painstakingly collected by the owner, Donnell Dadigan. And so there was an event there. It was a different kind of an event because Donnell and Michael Feinstein, you know who he is?
Yes, I know that name. Yes.
Yeah, he's very, also very famous.
Right.
Does Broadway musicals and...
Sure. Oh, yes. The American Songbook, right.
Exactly. And Charles Fox. And
where have I heard of him? I've heard of that name. Let's see. Where?
That's the one I'm talking about. Yeah.
Now.
You've heard it like the last 5 minutes. Charles and Donnell, who is also a pianist, and Michael have put together this book with CDs in it and so forth, and it's under Grammy consideration. And for Donnell's godfather, Jose Iturbe,
right,
who was a very big star back in the golden age.
Right.
And so Charles played some of his music. Michael Feinstein played some of his. Donnell played hers. It was an amazing event. And then, I don't know why, I keep running into Charles Fox, and maybe because I was going to talk to you. I don't know. And then, like, 3 or 4 days ago, I'm at a Motion Picture Academy event where I'm a member, and so is Charles. And there's Charles. And so we just keep running into each other. But look him up, because you will be very happy.
Of course. Well, I like to educate myself. And I can say that with the material that I did do, I put so much time and effort into it that it actually garnered a national award. And
the Telly.
Yeah, a Telly Award specific. But the thing is that I've been playing for 45 years. And I...
Oh, wow.
I really, really made myself a master of it and had done so much that I can stand behind it and say, Lee, you are going to love this stuff.
I can't wait. I'm going to look it up tonight.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for you to say, yeah, that really sucked, Pat, but thanks anyway. Click.
I would never do that. And I'm sure it doesn't anyway.
No. I mean, I even did the Star Spangled Banner. Now, it's like, that's not very original, but the fact of the matter is, it was, because it was the last thing you saw on television, right, before it would fade to snow. They'd play the national anthem.
Right. Yeah.
So it fit the criteria. And next thing I know, the B League for the Golden State Warriors has invited me to play it on their opening day.
Oh no, that's amazing! Are you going to do it?
I did do it, and it was.
Oh, you did do it?
It was amazing, and it was.
Wow!
Where am I going to do this? Oh, you see the center of the court?
Just walk out there.
Yeah, you're out there.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How intimidating.
Yes.
Oh, my.
And, you know, these huge basketball players looking at me, and I'm thinking, oh, God.
They're all, like, enormously. Yeah, I'm a huge basketball fan, but I hate to tell you, but that's not my team.
Well, that's all right. I forgive that. You know,
Thank you.
It's all right.
Because, you know, I live in L.A.
Yes, so. Of course. So, you know, it's just like I love the Dodgers. You know, me and Jerry Mathers go head-to-head on that one because... Ugh.
Oh, Jerry's a dear, dear friend of mine.
I love... Oh.
Me too.
Him and his lovely wife. And
oh, yeah.
And we just go back and forth between the Giants and the Dodgers, and we just, you know... We love each other so much we hate each other. That kind of a thing, you know.
Yes, I know.
But they've been dear friends for many years, and
really, how did you meet them?
I did a video because again, I didn't just do music, Lee. I did. Wes, are you interviewing me? What's going on here?
Am I? I think I am.
See, I suddenly feel like I can say anything I want.
Do you want to set up a time where I would interview you? We will finish my interview today.
Oh, it would be.
And then I will interview. I'm a very good interviewer.
I can tell. Hey, gang, just a quick reminder that you can also find a slideshow version of this podcast on my Golden Rage of TV YouTube channel. There, you'll also find all my other retro TV radio celebrity interviews in my Pods with Picks playlist. The Golden Rage of TV channel is jam-packed with various other nostalgic classic TV goodies. You'll find multiple seasons of my Retro TV Trivia series, which pays tribute to literally hundreds of classic TV shows and their stars. These include many trivia tidbits that you may just not have known. You'll also find my music playlist of rock guitar renditions of some of our favorite classic TV theme songs, all arranged and performed by yours truly. There's also a Happenings playlist, which houses all my celebrity memoir and merchandise reviews, as well as other promotions and current events. But much like this podcast, my Golden Rage of TV YouTube channel relies on the support of folks just like you. I'm talking about a simple one-click, no-obligation subscription. These really keep the wheels turning to continue bringing you more and more nostalgic retro TV entertainment. So please subscribe and help keep this effort charging ahead. Again, it's a simple, no-cost way to show your support for what I do. It would, of course, be greatly appreciated, and especially if you share it with a friend. Thank you in advance, folks, and now back to our show. I mean, that's the whole thing. You definitely have a gift for gab, and I don't.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I do talk way too much, I'm afraid.
Well, no,
but
I mean,
I do have an actual gift for, and I don't know. It just happens. People tell me everything and anything, and I'm like, okay, I understand what your great aunt did, and you know, 1932. Now, can we get back to what we were talking about?
Again, that was what was so amazing, because I figured we're just trying to figure out what we can't say. And next thing I know, Lee Purcell is asking me about my life and what it is
as
that
well,
I do.
You know?
And I'm thinking, this is surreal as surreal gets. And so how fun.
Well, here's the thing. I am really curious about people. I always have been since I was a child. I'm really curious, and I'm curious as to what makes them tick. And consequently, strangers tell me their deepest, darkest secrets. I'm not asking for them. They just tell it to me, like a waitress, or like a shoe salesman, or whomever. And I just listen, because there's nothing more interesting than people's stories,
right,
their personal lives and stories. There's really nothing. And there's nothing you can write. There's nothing you can compose. There's nothing more interesting than a person's story. And I have learned that everyone has a story. Every single person. You may think that, you know, this person you met is really boring. You didn't ask the right questions.
Right. Right. Well, I can't wait to tell my wife about this interview, and I'll say, and honey, all she wanted to talk about was me. And she'll say, you must have just loved it.
Sounds like my husband.
All my listeners are like, well, Pat, you always said you're a ham. This episode proves it.
Okay. Well, let's talk about me.
Yes. Here's where I'm going to say stuff that I probably shouldn't say. I'm going to try to get around this.
Okay, try to get it. Yeah, okay.
We'll do a part two, but because I want to talk about the Hollywood radio players.
Okay.
That's what I want to talk about. And of course, you are under no obligation to do a part two. You may never want to talk to me again after this, but we'll see.
Oh, no, I think I will, because I have more questions to ask you about you.
Just what is this story?
What is your story? And where were you born? And why did you have this dream? And
You say you're wanted in five states, Pat? Well, okay.
Oh, really? Like who wants you?
Exactly. Strictly an amorous way, but
no. Hello.
Oh, they're playing my song.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's my phone. I just turned it off. I thought it was off, but it wasn't.
So... this is, you know, I am such a fan of the classics. And, you know, by the title of my podcast, Retro TV Radio, you would almost think this was a podcast developed just to talk to Lee Purcell about her current project.
Wow. It's called what? Again? Tell me again. Hold on. I got to write it down.
I know. I'm giving you all these different titles. It's like, wait a minute.
I know.
Who is this guy?
Retro.
TV.
What else? TV.
Radio.
TV radio. That's really interesting, because like I told you earlier, we do radio you can see.
Yeah.
We actually kind of do TV radio.
Yeah, it's kind of like the play on words, but the irony was just like, oh, man, I think Lee and I are going to have some stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
A real quick funny thing about this, that title.
Yes.
It was initially called Retro TV Trivia. Our friend Harlan Ball, who is a good buddy of mine, has been lining up interviews, and he called me once and said, Pat, every single one of my clients will never talk to you. Huh?
What? What? Wait, I'm sorry, repeat that?
All my clients say no to talking to you.
Why?
That's what I said. Why? And he said, they think you're a game show.
Oh, really? See, I wouldn't have really thought
Retro
that.
TV Trivia. You're the next guest on.
Well, really?
Retro TV Trivia.
I love game shows, but... My gosh, I didn't know that. That's so interesting.
Harlan took it upon himself to retitle it Retro TV Radio.
Oh.
I got back to him. I said, Harlan, that's wrong, man. You're telling these people the wrong name. And he goes, no, Pat, it's right. I stood
back. Oh, my gosh, I can hear him saying that. So.
Oh, exactly. That's exactly how he said it. No, Pat, it's right.
That would be him. Yeah, and for people who don't know who we're talking about my publicist, who's also my friend, but my publicist who handles everybody, and then also Pat's friend who brings Pat interviewees, or in my case, an interviewer.
Right, I love him. He's just a wonderful guy. I mean,
he's really quite incredible. But so Retro TV Radio is your podcast. Well, we are creating a podcast that I'm going to guess we'll probably launch it after the first of the year, sometime in early 2024, because we're just a bit too overwhelmed at the moment. We're right now getting out our 11th show, which is going to be an episode of Baby Snooks, which was an incredibly popular series, radio series, that Fanny Bryce played Baby Snooks. And for those of you who are Barbara Streisand fans, Barbara Streisand ended up playing Fanny Bryce in the movie. Oh, sorry. Can't say it.
Anyway, way to go, though.
I caught myself just in time.
That was awesome.
Anyway. Barbara Streisand played Fanny Bryce in a movie that was a very big hit. And so, of course, we're not doing that. We're doing an episode of Baby Snooks, and I can talk about that. It's radio. And she's a very popular character. And the episode that we have recreated is from 1946. And it's a Halloween episode. So that is why it is being released in October.
Perfect. Perfect.
And if people want to see it, they can see it. They can either go to our website, which is HollywoodRadioPlayers.com, or they can go to our YouTube channel, Hollywood Radio Players. Either way, and you can see the show or all the shows.
Well, and they're so entertaining. I saw something similar like this during the pandemic. It was a recreation of a very popular film from the 80s. And what was great is it actually had some of the actors from the film. They weren't playing their exact characters, which was kind of odd. I don't know, bud. I think somebody would have been really good at it. But,
but you know, time has passed. And they have aged out of those roles.
Right. Well, and it was entertaining. I mean, it was also kind of bizarre because some of them were clearly not as into it as others.
Oh, that's funny. Were they doing it for a worthy cause?
Yes. I mean, definitely. I don't recall, unlike what you're doing for a worthy cause, which we're definitely going to get to here. It was fun. It was fun to watch. And when I see yours... It's more fun because it's more intimate. It's more, you're not looking at 30 different actors waiting for their turns to say their lines.
We do it very professionally.
Yeah.
And as we've gone along doing it, because we've been doing it now for a year, actually longer, but because of the prep time. But we have grown technically. You know, it was a huge learning curve because we do special effects, sound effects, costumes. You know, we do it full out. We just don't sit down at a kitchen table and read lines.
Yeah.
You know, we do it full out. So you get the full experience.
Right.
Even though it's on Zoom, which I think is really fun because everybody is in a medium close-up. Everybody.
Right.
And I think that's really fun that you get to see all the facial expressions and which you, in a regular show, you know, you have your close-up, your medium shot, your long shot, all those things, right? But we're just always in a medium close-up. So I think that's kind of fun that you get to see the actors kind of thinking. You know, you actually see the thoughts cross their faces. And I love that. And then, of course, we have two great hosts. Tom Berenger was our host for our first 7 shows, and we'll be back eventually. And he's going to actually perform a role for us in a show that we'll discuss later. Not because I can't, because we haven't fully decided. And then, well, he had to leave because he had another project to go to. But we got really lucky, and our newish host is Lisa Gibbons, and I'm sure people know who she is. She's very beautiful. She's very smart. She's very talented, and she's lucky to have her, and lucky to have Tom Berenger. So we've had those two wonderful hosts. And we are a union signatory, so everything I say is carefully thought out. But because of our particular contract and the fact that we do benefit an industry organization, Motion Picture and Television Fund,
yes,
we are able to just go on as normal. We can film, we can talk about it, we can do anything required.
Yes. Well, in that fund, the MPTF was something that I just kind of under the radar for me. And then I come to find out it's been around for over 100 years. I'm thinking, well, what rock have I been living under?
Well, you know, I think that most people don't know what it is unless they've had to use it.
Right.
Or unless they've had, you know, family members or friends who've had to use it, or they are helping. I mean, I had been volunteering, doing things for them for about 4 or 5 years, different. And so when we were putting this together, it was like, well, what are we going to do with it? And the thought was, let's find an appropriate charity and donate all the funds, all the money that we get to them. And so that's what happens. We never see any of the money. It doesn't even cross our hands. You know, when people see the shows, they have an option that they can donate. And there's a link right there, and the host tells you about the link to donate to the Motion Picture and Television Fund.
Or they don't have to.
And they can, if they do want to, they can donate any amount, because any amount is needed. And it's all tax deductible. So it's a win-win, you know, for everybody, for us, for the viewers, for the MPTF, Motion Picture and Television Fund. And we're quite thrilled to do it because most of us have seen their work firsthand and see what they do for people. And they don't just benefit actors. They benefit anyone in any profession in the TV and film industry.
Right down to the nitty-gritty, right? I mean,
right down to the nitty-gritty. If somebody does craft service, if somebody is a grip or is a costumer, makeup artist, director, producer, writer, actor, composer, whatever it is, and they need help, which, thanks to the pandemic that we went through, everybody needed help. A lot of people needed help. And then now the strikes, you know, a lot of people need help. And so it's a wonderful feeling to do this. It's really wonderful. And everybody that does this with us, my partner, I have my producing partner, Michael Carnegie, who is a genius, everybody that does this with us, it feels really good because you know that you're helping your peers and the people who entertain the world. So it's a gift.
And at the most crucial of times.
Most crucial, yes. But for 100 years, you know, so they've come through, you know, many wars. You know, they came through the pandemic in 21? Then the pandemic that we went through and, you know, downtime, strikes, and times, you know, inflation and the depression. You think about all the difficult times that have happened. And I sound like a commercial till now, but, you know, but I'm very passionate about MPTF. And the MPTF has been there for people.
Right.
And they don't have a bottomless pit of money. You know, it has to continuously be raised.
Right.
And so, you know, that's why we really love helping them. And they have they have so many different programs. Hmm. I always say they have programs from conception to end of life because they have maternity programs. They have probably one of the best, home for the elderly and for people with dementia, people without dementia, people with dementia. And it's a wonderful place. I've been there several times and not as a patient yet, but I've been there, you know, helping out and performing and so forth. And it's terrific. And then they have, you know, just everything. If you want to lose weight, if you want to stop smoking, if you need child care, they just have so, I don't even know how many programs they have.
That's good.
But they help people, they save people.
Well, and let's face it, folks, it's not cheap, you know?
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh, it's not.
And that's why, any contribution, you guys, you've seen what these people are going through now. And of course, as Lee just pointed out, it's been a century of these things, you know. buddy of mine sent me a gift, said, this too shall pass, and then some other BS will come in and replace it.
Oh my gosh, I so agree with that.
Okay.
Oh yeah, it will. It will. You can just go on and on. And then there's just normal life. You know, somebody loses a job. They can't pay their rent. You know, they're going to get evicted. You know, they go to the motion picture and television fund and say, hey, I'm desperate. I need 3 months' rent. And, you know, there's paperwork to go through. They don't just write them a check right there. They have to have proof and so forth. And they have to be in the industry in some way. And they take care of them. They definitely take care of them. And it's really a wonderful thing.
Yeah, sounds like it. And I hope most of these folks that are in that position are aware of it, too. I mean, obviously, I wasn't because I was on a soap opera for about a week. If you blinked, you missed me. And I was just thinking, if I'd have been there for a little bit longer, maybe become a contract player, I would have been educated in all this stuff. But now I've got the Purcell Crash Course in what's out there.
There you go.
To help folks. And now you guys know, too. And so, yeah, you can hit a link on the YouTube channel to contribute. I would assume you can get to it via the website, your website.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it takes you right there.
And so...
No, not my website.
Not your... No, no.
HollywoodRadioPlayers.com.
Yes, that's who we're talking about.
Although I should have a link. You know, you just gave me an idea. I should. Yes, you can go to HollywoodRadioPlayers.com. There's a drop-down menu of all of our shows. There's our bios. There's all kinds of information there. And also just bear with us, folks, because we are rewriting it as we speak, practically. And we're redoing it. But it is there. And you just click on whatever show you want to see, and it just magically takes you through the magic of the internet right over to our YouTube channel. And you can see that show.
It's great stuff. Well, thank you, Lee Purcell. And
thank you, Pat McCormick.
We've only scratched the surface.
We have scratched the surface, and we will talk more about your life.
My life, perfect. My wife will love that.
Thank you, Pat. Tell her. Thank you, Pat. I really appreciate you having me on.
Thank you, Lee. We'll talk soon.
We sure will. Bye-bye now.
There you have it, another Retro TV Radio in the books. Catch up with Lee Purcell and all her fine works by going to her website, leepurcell.com. Also, search up HollywoodRadioPlayers.com and find their YouTube channel at Hollywood Radio Players. Again, this helps benefit the Motion Picture Television Fund, which is literally everyone involved with bringing you quality on-screen entertainment. Lee has promised us a return visit once the strike is settled so we can get deep into her magnificent roles and specifically reference those amazing films. That includes one of my all-time favorites, a film Steven Spielberg once referenced as American Graffiti meets Jaws. And yep, I'm allowed to say it outside of our interview. We're talking about Big Wednesday. Friends, if you haven't seen that, as Lee says, and I agree, it's so deep, you need to see it twice. Be sure to subscribe and leave a positive rating for this podcast, and just as importantly, tell a friend. This is your host, Pat McCormick, and thanks for listening to Retro TV Radio.